I want to begin this morning by giving a really cool announcement. Cardinal Burke is coming in 2 weeks, right here. So here's what's happening. On December 7th, which is the feast of Saint Ambrose, and also the anniversary of the Pearl Harbor attack. But anyways, December 7th, he's going to be here, and he's going to offer Mass at Holy Redeemer downtown, primarily for the students and staff of St. Ambrose Academy, but everybody's invited, so please, if you can, come to that, 3 p.m. on Saturday. Then he's going to be the head person for their the St. Ambrose Academy benefit dinner that night. So please hurry up and sign up for that. I think the deadline's tomorrow, but go online and sign up for that right away. I intended to have him come here and speak to the KDM LDM speak here in the parish, but it ended up coinciding with the Ambrose Academy benefit dinner. So I said, well, let's just have KDM and LDM down there, because everybody who supports Ambrose Academy is basically all those people anyway. So please plan on joining that. Then the following day, instead of our two normal masses, 7:30 and 9:15, so please note this and tell all your friends and neighbors, we're going to have one big mass at 10 a.m. here. It's called a Pontifical High Mass at the Throne with Cardinal Burke right here in our church. So very excited about all that. This past week, I had the great pleasure, I've taught many times to the students of Holy Family Homeschoolers. I had a number of classes in the past that I taught, but this week there was a teacher who couldn't come. She's having a baby, and so they quickly contacted me and said, can you fill in, Father? Sure. Well, that just meant, you know, they're contacting me in the bottom of the ninth inning. I don't even have a chance to warm up yet, but so off the cuff, you know, I went and talked to them, and I, you know, they just said, whatever you feel they need to know, Father, just talk to them about that. So I did. And, you know, here's what's been on my mind, too. And this is what I told the students. I said, realize there's only two kingdoms. Okay? There's the kingdom of God. Christ is king, right? There's the kingdom of God over here. And then there's the kingdom of the world. And the prince of the world. Okay, so we'll talk in a second what the end game is, the kingdom of God, all right? But I want to tell them what the end game is, the kingdom of this world and the prince of this world. And here it is. To reduce you to mere animals for this kingdom, that is ultimate freedom. You know, I said, you know, how much more shocked can we be by what's being normalized in our culture today? I mean, men walking into little girls' bathrooms. You know, I was sitting out there in the narthex with them. I said, right now I could get up, and while there were girls in the bathroom, I could just proclaim I'm a girl now and walk in. You know, this is what animals do. Okay? You know, and so what is it? It's feel free, born free, as free as, you know. But it's to be free means to do what thou wilt. And that's where I brought them into, you know, that's the high commandment in the Satanic Bible. Do what thou wilt shall be the whole of the law. So while it's the world and Satan is the prince of the world, what we're doing there is we are creating the idol of ourselves. And I said, one of the tragedies of our Catholic Christian faith in the last 2,000 years actually happened with Humanae Vitae. Not because of Humanae Vitae, but what happened afterwards. So that was the encyclical that basically said, no, we shouldn't contracept, and here's what's going to happen. And Paul VI said in that encyclical, he was prophetic. He said there'll be high divorce rates, there'll be people living together, all this stuff, and so on. He predicted this is going to happen, and it did. Because why? Because leaders were telling, bishops were telling us priests, when you get in the confessional with them, just go ahead and say, you know, let your conscience be your guide. Well, let's just understand what that means. That my conscience trumps God's law. Okay? That it supersedes God's law. And then I said to the students this, I said, so if we're going to apply it here, then why not here, 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 and here? So like, for instance, you know, I'm tired this morning on Sunday, and my conscience tells me that I should get my rest instead of going and worshiping God. Well, you know, the culture's evolving and people are becoming more vulgar in their speech. So my conscience is telling me I should go ahead and be a part of this normalization of vulgar speech. We should be okay. You know, I told him too. I said, listen, President Obama ran in 2008 firm on what's called DOMA, the Defense of Marriage Act. 7 years later, that's like a blink of an eye in the history of civilization. 7 years later, the country was cool with basically marrying whoever you want. Love is love. Now it's coming in fast as thruples. Children present, I'll let you all understand what that means. But you can see, this is what animals do. They just kind of walk through the meadow or the forest, and if they feel like whatever they want to do, they do it. That's what Satan wants. Do what thou wilt shall be the whole of the law. So what is the kingdom of God? This morning, Father Zia, I caught his homily. The readings for the traditional Latin Mass was Matthew, I think it's 24, particularly 24:15, where it talks about the abomination of desolation, or the abomination that will cause desolation. Okay? It can be applied to many things throughout history, but it also applies maybe to our future as well. What does it mean? It means that the pagan idol worship will cause a desolation. And again, you can apply that to many things. I believe just recently in our church there was a mistake happening. We're waiting for clarification on this. Because all of a sudden, we're vulnerable. You know, we trust our leaders. Oh, okay, we can put idols in our churches now. I'm giving a big old pass on this. I think probably just a handful of bad characters were involved, and I think the Holy Spirit or the Holy Father was surprised by the whole deal. I'm almost sure that's what happened. But let's come afterwards and let's just say no. You know, because why? Because we already see churches doing this. I mean, we have to be careful. And I talked to them too about scandal. I said, you know, our words have an effect, especially if we're given a position of authority. You know, so we just saw that a church somewhere, where was it, South America or someplace, where they had a blessing of a same-sex marriage in a Catholic church. You know, this is what this kingdom is up to. It wants to reduce us to mere animals. Okay, if it feels good, do it. Love is love. What is God's kingdom? And it says in the scripture with Paul, he says, he delivered us from the power of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. So what is this kingdom? You look at the image that we had today in the gospel. It's the image of the crucifixion, right? And the conversation that went on between Jesus and the two criminals side by side. One of them was mocking Jesus, but the next one rebuked him. You know, we're often told, don't judge me. I'm not. Judgment means, in that context, that I'm sure you're going to hell and there's nothing you can do about it. Okay, don't ever do that. That's left up to God. But should we rebuke? Should we admonish? In other words, out of love, should we say, my darling, my friend, my love, I want you to go to heaven. Let's get you reattached to God. Let's bring you home. Out of the kingdom of darkness into the splendor of his kingdom of light, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. This criminal hanging next to Jesus did something atrocious. They're often called the thieves. I don't think because they pickpocketed someone, they were, you know, given the death sentence. Probably something akin to murder. You know, Jesus is, as the king, is seen to come in the line of the King of David, the lineage. Well, David was walking around in the palace and saw Bathsheba, and one thing led to another, and they had a kid. To cover his tracks, he killed her husband, Uriah. And he's in the lineage of Jesus? Yes. Because he threw himself at God's feet and said, I am a sinner. Psalm 51. Read that if you get a chance today. It's amazing. And God said, I forgive you. That repentant criminal hanging next to Jesus, today you will be with me in paradise. Because why? You just asked to be forgiven. That's Christ's kingdom. Come one, come all. We're not going to condone your sins. We're going to get you out of the kingdom of darkness and bring you into the kingdom of light, where there is peace, where there is love, where there is joy, where there is a sense of meaning and purpose in life. The abomination that caused the desolation. That's what desolation means. It means, I'm so empty. Is life worth anything? How? I get up, I eat, I go to work, I come home, I eat, I go to bed. Somebody who's caught in that darkness is caught in that desolation. And my brothers and sisters, we're called to bring them out of that. How? Through our prayers. But primarily, we're called to bring them out through ourselves. As John Baptiste Chatard recounts in his book, The Soul of the Apostolate, Pope St. Pius X was conversing with a group of cardinals one day. The Pope asked them, what is the thing we most need today to save society? Build Catholic schools, said one. No. More churches, said another. Still no. Speed up the recruiting of priests, said a third. No, no, said the Pope. The most necessary thing of all at this time is for every parish to possess a group of lay people who will be at the same time virtuous, enlightened, resolute, and apostolic. Further details enable us to assert that the Holy Father, at the end of his life, saw no hope for the salvation of the world unless the clergy could use their zeal to form faithful Christians, full of apostolic ardor, preaching by word and example, but especially example. In the diocese where he served before being elevated to the papacy, he attached less importance to the count of parishioners than to the list of Christians capable of radiating an apostolate. It was his opinion that shock troops could be formed in any environment. It's actually a term from the military. It means infantry formations along with supporting units, creating a lead attack. You could see that in the D-Day, those boats heading to the beach. They didn't know if they were going to survive. They were the lead. Most of them didn't. The vast majority did not. But they knew somebody had to go first. Somebody had to take the lead. You think of Jesus hanging on the cross there. Where was his band of brothers? Where was his peeps? Well, you know, it's kind of a sensitive topic. It's kind of a sensitive subject, you know, that we stand up for Christ the King. So they let him be killed. Well, they covered their behind. We need shock troops, my brothers and sisters. And again, I want to qualify because I know I'm preaching to the choir. I want to brag a little bit here that the statistics came out for the ACA, okay? And that's the Diocesan Appeal. And we were 248% over goal. It's number one in the diocese. Number two was 204%. We crushed second place. Bragging done. You guys are awesome. But the devil will have none of that. Okay? So he's going to get doubt in you. And he's going to try to cause dissension among us. And he's going to find a way to attack me, you know, and all that stuff. I was listening to someone who was talking to a former parishioner of mine. And they were all upset at Father Rick because, do you know what? Listen to this. Do you know what he said? At a funeral, he said, now we'll have communion for all Catholics in good standing. Can you believe that? Sometimes I think about that. Should I say something like that? Because you know what? People will walk up and leave if I do. I've had homilies where I hit hot topics where I'm sitting there going, okay, is that person taking the child out or are they, right? We need shock troops. We need people willing to lead. I'm going to stare at the camera right now. Bishops, please give us clarity. Give us truth. Help us to understand what Christ's kingdom is because we're being led to believe that all this stuff that stands directly in opposition to the will of God is good and normal and okay. Because you're silent. Because you're silent. We're seeing Christ's church being crucified. 70% no longer believe this is God on the altar. And they stood at a distance and watched our Lord die on the cross. That was our first bishops. Only John was there. Let's be John's. And then they went on to claim their courage, and our first bishops were martyred. Can we please get there? I'm going to end with this. Today is the feast day. I call it the feast day. It's the anniversary of the passing of Bishop Morlino from this life to the next. I ask all of you, as I do, you know, here's how I pray for him. I pray for the repose of the soul of Bishop Morlino. Please pray for me, Bishop. So I do it. We were very close when he was alive, and he had my back. And there were many ways that he gave me a vote of confidence to help me and to support me and to spur me on with, you know, he wanted communion of the tongue. He wanted ad orientem. He wanted truth with love. And I did it. But I had people leaving because, do you know, he said that communion's for Catholics in good standing. It's my crime. But he supported that. I'm forever indebted to him. Our new bishop is amazing. But please, if you would, please pray for the repose of Bishop Morlino, and then ask him to pray for you, for whatever your petitions are. I actually think Bishop Morlino got us Bishop Hayang. Yeah. I mean, Bishop Hayang is pretty amazing. But please pray for him, pray for Hugh, but pray for us. Pray for us. I do believe we're doing pretty well, almost to the best of our ability, to be those shock troops, to be willing to take the lead, okay? To build the kingdom of God instead of letting this king, this, you know, letting us be just mere homo sapiens instead of children of Christ the King, you know? Members of Christ's kingdom, children of God. And so, let us close with a prayer. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Loving Father, we ask that you, we ask for the repose of the soul of Bishop Morlino. We're so very grateful for all that he did to lead us to be strong, to be those shock troops you're calling us to be. We ask him, you to take him home to heaven. And we ask for your prayers upon us here at St. Mary's, all of these beautiful families, for me, your unworthy servant. We ask for the powerful intercessory prayers of Our Lady, for St. Michael the Archangel, and from Bishop Morlino. We pray all this through Christ our Lord. Amen. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.